Did it say what I said it said or not?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's on the register.
Continue our discussion of Yirtzeh Hashem on Kalim, Belia B'Kalim. Simon Sadi Dalit. Din HaTochev Kaf Chol Leves B'Kedera Shal Bosa. HaTochev Kaf Chol Leves B'kdeir shal basar. O ibcha. So we'll open up to Sif Gimel. In Shishim Levatel hakaf Hakdeira vatav shel mutarim Aval hakaf Asura Beinim basar, beinim cholov, lefi shehi blua, the basar b'cholov, vafilu b'diavad oseres, im chazru v'tachvua, bein b'basar, bein b'cholov, kol zman shehi bas yoma. So what we have here is a kaf choleves, so it was used in a keder shel cholov, and now he takes this kaf choleves, and there was a triva of this kaf choleves into a tavshil shel basa. So the Mechaber paskins that as far as the Tavshil is concerned, as far as the Kedera is concerned, we can be Meshayer B'Shishim, right? It has a certain Belia of Cholov in the Kaf. And let's assume that in the Tavshil, the Shishim against that Belia, the maximum Belia in the Kaf, let's assume there's Shishim and the Kedera against the maximum Bliya of the Kaf. That's a little bit more complicated. But in any event, the Tavshil and the Kedera Mutarim. What's the status of the Kaf? The Kaf now has within it both a Bliya of Cholov and a Bliya of Basar. A Bliya of Cholov because it was used first with Cholov. Now it has a Bliya of Basar because it had penetrated into a Tavshil Shal Basar. So the kaf itself remains asura, and not only that, the kaf, if it has another triva, and it matters not whether it's into cholav or basar, the kaf is oseres, even b'dieved, as long as it's a basyoma. So on these last five words, kol zman shehi basyoma, we have a machlokes between the Shach and the Bach. What does the Mechaber have in mind when he says Kol Zman Shehi Bas Yoma? I'm tempted here to change the order and start with the Bach, although in the Shulchan Aruch itself, obviously you'll start with the Shach. I don't have the Tour open in front of me. If we had the Tour open, we would start with the Bach. The Bach says, and he's quoted in the Shach Sivkot Yud at the end of this Shach, that when the Mechaber says Kol Zman Shehi Bas Yoma, it means Bas Yoma of the original usage of this Kaf with Cholav. If let's say 24 hours have passed since the original use of that kaf with cholov, then the tam of cholov in the kaf is a tam pogu, and therefore can never generate any sort of isur, even though again, there was a tchiv of this kafchol levis into basar, into tavshal basar. So now we have a blia basioma of basar. But nevertheless, as far as the cholov is concerned, the blia in the cholov is an eda basioma. The shach, on the other hand, says kolzmanchi basioma pirush mishas hatchiva. We're not interested in the original usage of the kaf with cholov, but rather in the moment that you would tochev this kaf cholevis into basar. And if the kaf cholevis has a tam of cholov, which is lishvach, meaning it's a basiomo, and now you take this kaf cholevis basiomo and you put it into a tavshel shel basar, now the kaf has a blia both cholov and basar. I now start calculating, the clock starts ticking as far as ben yomo is concerned from the moment of the tchiva into the basar. So I have a 24 hour period since the tchiva into the basar, and if I use that kaf, whether it would be with milchix or fleishix, it generates an isur, even b'dieved, unless we get shishim against it. And the shach insists that we're going to start counting this 24-hour period from the moment of the tchiva into the tavshel shel basar. He says, "Afilu eina bas yoma bishah shebishal b'cholav." Even though we've passed the 24-hour period of the original tchiva shel cholav, so in a sense we can talk about time T1, time T2, and then ultimately time T3. Time T1 was the first moment that he used this kaf with cholov. Within 24 hours of time T1, he now does a tchiva of the kaf shel cholov into a tavshel shel basar. And if he does another tchiva, whether it be in basar or cholov, it matters not, but it's within the 24 hours of time T2, meaning the time of the tchiva to basar, then it generates an iser in the tavshil, again depending upon whether it's shishim. Kevan shahaisa bas yoma b'shas hatchiva rishona. Again, we always have to assume that the original, the relationship, shall we say, the time period of the interval of time that elapsed between the original usage of this kaf with cholov and the tchiva to the tavshil shel basar was within 24 hours. Otherwise, nothing to talk about. But within that 24-hour period, we generate an isur that now has within the kaf, we have both a tam cholov, which is lishvach, and a tam basa, which is lishvach. Now, as we said over and over again, according to the shach, I start counting 24 hours from the time of tchiva into the tavshel shel basa. Even though we've passed the basioma, the 24 hours of the original usage of the kaf with cholov. And in order to justify his position, the shach invokes the famous principle of chaticha nasis nevela, and he says the following: kevet shahaisa bas yoma bishas hatchiva rishona. Here I think in the tchiva rishona he's referring to the tchiva to the tavshel shel basar. Right, so he has a kaf choleves and a tchiva into a tavshel shel basar. At that moment in time, with the tchiva into the tavshel shel basar, the kaf itself is nases nevela. So at what moment did it become nevela? At the moment that he did a tchiva into what? The tavshel shel basar. The oseres acher kach afilu b'dieved imhi bas yoma mishas hatchiva. In other words, within a 24-hour period subsequent to the tchiva into the basar, it generates an iser in the tavshil, in the tchiva shnia, which again we could call tchiva shlishis. I don't think he's using the first usage as a tchiva. I mean, basically he used it as a tchiva, but we don't want to call it a tchiva. We'll just call it that he used it with a, you know, a pot of milchix. Maybe he did a hagasa, whatever it is. He there's a full fledged bli of cholov in this kaf. Now he does one tchiva into a tavshil shel basar. He does another tchiva into whatever, it matters not. And that was done within 24 hours of the tchiva into a tavshil shel basar. That's called a basioma. Upashatu. And the Shach is absolutely convinced that this has to be so. And to what extent is he convinced? That if you take a look, fast forward two or three lines, he quotes the Bach and he says, the Loka Bach, Shekosav Lehepuch, and the Bach thought Pipshitas is Lehepuch, that you always need a Basyomo to the original usage of the Kaf with Cholov. And to comment on the Bach, the Shach writes, Uposhethu Detosu. Very heavy language here against the Bach. So again, just to summarize, what is the Mechaber mean by Kolzman Shi Basyoma? We have the Bach and then we have the Shach. The Bach assumes Kolzman Shi Basyoma, the original Blia of Cholov. If we've already passed the 24-hour period of the Blia Shel Cholov, then how could that Blia Shel Cholov be a Blia Hoseres when it's a Tam Pogu? And the Shach disagrees, and he says Kol Zman Shi Basyoma means Basyoma the Tchiva into the Tavshil Shel Basar, even though we're beyond Basyoma of the original usage in Cholov. And in order to justify his Shita, he invokes the principle of Chaticha Nases Nevela. So on this Shach we have a long discussion in the Prima Gadin. What I'd like to try to do in the next few minutes is to summarize the Prima Gadin. The Prima Gadin says that this machlokes between the Shach and the Bach here in Simon Tzadi Dalin is really a machlokes rishonim that dates back to the Rashba and the Ran, which is codified in Simon Kuf He. And there, in Simon Kuf He, we have a discussion about Negias Basar below Rotev. The principle is, as you all know, I don't have to review this for you, that Ein Bliya Yotzeis Michaticha L'chaticha below Rotev. Now what happens is, you have two chatichos. They're both, let's say, roschos. They're both burning hot. One is asur and one is mutter. And they have an agia, they come in contact one with the other. So here's what the Rashba would say about this. If it's a case of nevela, let's say, for example, a chatichas nevela would have an agia with a chatichas basar shchuta, so the agia of the basar nevela would be an agia ha'oseres. There's a blia ha'oseres, what it would be, kidei netila, whatever it is, but both are hot, and therefore it would generate an isur. However, let's say we had three pieces of meat. The first piece of meat was nevela, came in contact with a piece of heter, and it was a blia ha'oseres if everything is hot. Now that second piece of meat, which is basically a chatichas heter, just it has a blia of nevela, and it comes in contact with the third piece of meat, we'll call it a basa shchuta. And now the halacha is that ein blia yotzeis michaticha l'chaticha below rotev. Meaning, in the second negia, the only way that that negia could be a negia hoseres is if that middle chaticha, we'll call it, would be a medium to draw the tam of nevela into the second piece of basa shchuta, and that it can't do because we have no rotev. And in the absence of rotev, negia cannot generate an isur in something that's asur machmas bilua. Do you follow my point? That since the only reason the second chaticha would generate an isur on the third is because of the blia of nevela that's within the second chaticha, that blia will not be transported or transferred over to the third chaticha because there's no rotev. Comes along the Rashba, and he says the same logic in those three chatichos would apply to basa b'chala, which means that if you have a piece of basa b'chala that comes in contact with a piece of basa heter, and everything's hot but there's no rotev, so we would apply the principle, says the Rashba, of ein bliya yotzeis michaticha lechaticha below rotev, and therefore the second chaticha, the chaticha's heter, remains a chaticha muteres. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran disagrees. The Ran says that just like in the case of nevela, when the nevela comes in contact with a piece of basar heter, it generates an iser if everything is hot, even without rotev. Whatever the nature and the scope of that iser is, that's a different discussion, not for now. The same thing applies if you have a piece of basar b'chalav. And that's obvious because of what reason, Rabosai? Why would a chatichas basa b'chalav now generate an iser through negia without rotev to another chaticha? Because of chaticha nasis nevela. Says the Prima Gadin, what's the machlokas here between the Rashba and the Ran? The Rashba holds that chaticha nasis nevela doesn't mean that it's mamish nevela, but rather, as long as there's a tam basar and a tam cholov together in one chaticha, that chaticha is a chaticha asura. And basically, says the Prima Gadim, the Rashba understands that basar b'cholov remains an iser machmas bilua. So if you have tipas cholov shenofal chaticha and there's no shishim, then that chaticha becomes an avela. What that means is, according to the Rashba, that as long as you have the taroves of these two tamim, you have both the tam of cholov that entered into this chaticha's basar, together with the tam of basar, that becomes the avela. And now that it's the avela, if it falls into a second taroves, you can eat shishim against the entire piece of basar. However, it's not the avela in the sense that it remains a cheftzid isura liolam vayed. It's only a cheftzid isura with a shame basa b'cholav insofar as it's carrying the tam of the cholav within. And the isur is an isur machmas bilua. Hence, the Rashba will equate the case of basa b'cholav b'negia with basa heter to the case of a piece of heter that absorbed the tam of the vela and now comes in contact with another piece of heter. And we say that ein bliya yotzeis below rotev, michaticha lechaticha below rotev. Same thing here. What's going to happen is, says the Rashba, is that when this chatichas basa b'cholav comes in contact with another piece of basar and there's no rotev in between, then the basar itself is going to give tam into the second piece, meaning the basar heter, but the cholav remains behind. We've left the cholav outside of the equation, and the reason for that is because there's no rotev. And if there's no rotev, then there's no way that the chatichas basa, which is now a hot, dry piece of meat, can convey the bliya of cholav over to the basar heter, because bliya cannot be transferred without rotev. So the bliya, which is now cholav, remains in the chaticha. And what you've effectively done is you've separated the cholav from the basar. So what you're left with is basar, coming in contact with other basar. But basar itself is not basar b'cholav. You need both the basar and the cholav. The Ran, on the other hand, holds that chaticha nasis nevela should be taken to its logical conclusion. It's not just a metaphor for how much of a shishim, how much of a bittul we have to be mishayer when bas b'chala falls into another kedera. No, it goes way, way beyond that. Bas b'chala means a whole new entity, a new cheftzid isura has now emerged as a result of the time of basar b'cholav. Every single fiber of that basar is now also b'toras basar b'cholav, and therefore that basar b'cholav now has the same exact status as the nevela. Just like we said that if a piece of nevela basar comes in contact with a piece of basar shchuta, even without rotev, it generates an iser of tam, because the nevela itself, every single particle of that nevela is a cheftzid isura. So too, according to the Ran, in the case of basar b'cholav, every single particle of the basar b'cholav becomes a cheftzid isura. So even if you'll tell me that the Blias Chala will not be able to be transferred over to the next piece of Basa without Rotev, it doesn't matter one iota, because the Basa itself is Asa. The Basa is Asa B'Toras Atzmo and Machmas Atzmo. And that's the new entity called Basa B'Chala. And therefore, says the Ran, even if the Blias Chalav doesn't go from one Basa to the other Basa, but nevertheless the Basa itself is a Chefta di Surah, it's a brand new Isa called Basa B'Chalav, and has the same status as the Vela, and therefore through the Gias Basa, without Rotev, it generates an Isa. The Rashba, on the other hand, says the Prima Gadim, holds that Basa B'Chalav remains an Isa Machmas Bilua, and after the Chalav falls onto the piece of meat, the piece of meat is now awesome because it's carrying within it a tam of cholav, and that tarovus of the tam of cholav with the tam of basa is what generates the iser. As long as we have that tarovus, then we need shishim against the basa because the basa has the tam of cholav in. But lu yitzuyer, we can somehow extract the tam basar and leave the tam chola behind us, there would be no isa basa b'chola. And therefore the Rashba holds that if this piece of basa b'chola now comes in contact with another piece of basa heter without rotev, then the piece of basa heter remains basa heter because the bliya of chola will be left behind. It cannot be transferred over to the chefta shel heter through a negia without rotev. Comes along the Prima Gadu, and he says that machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran about the nature of Basa B'Chalav is exactly the machlokas between the Shach and the Bach here in Siman Tzadi Dal, with the Kaf Choleves Shetofo L'Toch Tavshil Shel Basa. The Shach is going to accept the position of the Ran. And since the Ran says that with the tarovas of Basar and Cholav, like in the case of Tipas Chol Shenofa al Chaticha, we now have the emergence of a brand new Isa, which is called Basar B'Cholav, that's called Chaticha Nasis Nevela. And from the Ran's perspective, Chaticha Nasis Nevela means Nevela Mamish. It's a shtick Isur called Basar B'Cholav to such an extent that it will generate an Isa on the next Chaticha even without Rotev. The Ran now will be understood, or shall we say it the other way around, the Shach now will be understood in the light of the Ran. The Shach is saying that if you have this Kaf Choleves, and now you would tochev the Kaf Choleves into a Kedera Tavshel Shel Basar, obviously everything's hot. In such a case, the Kaf now becomes, because insofar as it's Bolea, both the Tam Cholav, which is Ben Yomo, and now the Tam Basa, which is Ben Yomo, becomes a new Iser of Basa B'Cholav. Hence, we start calculating the 24 hours from the time of the Tchiva into the Basa. From that point and on, we have a Basa B'Cholav, an entity of Basa B'Cholav, which is a Bas Yomo, which is a Tam L'Shvach. What happened in the original Tchiva, when he first used this kaf in context with cholav, and we've already passed a 24-hour period since then, that's totally irrelevant from the Shach's perspective. Why? Because we're not generating an Iser in the kaf as a result of the original tchiv of cholav, but as a result of the emergence of a brand new chefta di sura, namely the Iser of Basa B'Cholav. So at what point in time did that new entity of Basa B'Cholav emerge? From the moment that he did a tchiva into the Tavshil Shel Basa. Hence we calculate 24 hours from that tchiva into the Tavshil Shel Basa. Masha'enken says the Prima Gadim, the Bach holds like the Rashba, which means that Basa B'Cholav is always an Iser Machmas Bilua. And even though we have a principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, if this Chatichas Basa B'Cholav would come in contact with another piece of meat without Rotev, it would not generate any Iser because the Cholav that's Nivla, that's Balua, remains behind, and you've effectively separated between the Cholav and the Basa. So once you have Basa without Cholav, it's Mutter, and that's the Shittas of the Rashba. The Bach therefore says the following, that since the original Tam of Cholav in this Kaf must be alive and active in order to generate an Isur Basar B'Chalav, because the Isur Basar B'Chalav is a result of the Tchiva of this Kafka Levis into Tavshil Shel Basar, is because of the Chalav, not just because of the Basar. So I'm always connected to the Chalav. If that Tav of Chalav in this Kaf would not generate an Isur, because 24 hours have passed since I used that Kaf Cholevis with Cholev, and the time of the Cholev is a time Pogum, in such a case, the Bach is absolutely correct that I can no longer generate an Isur of Basar B'Chalav vis-a-vis the Kaf or any future Tchiva with this Kaf, because the original Tam of Chalav, which generates the Isur of Basar B'Chalav, is now a Tam Pagul. Brilliant Chiddush of the Prima Gaonim. I don't know if I didn't do justice to explaining it. It's my fault, not the Prima Gaonim's fault. I mean, this is just an amazing insight and very, very fundamental of the Prima Gaonim.
But the Shach says in Sifat and Bluff, and 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 Sifat
Shach and see if he always reflects the sheet of the Ran, that Chaticha Nasa Nevela should be taken to its, how should I say, to its extreme conclusion, that we no longer need that taroves of basa b'cholov together in order to generate an iser of basa b'cholov, that once that iser has emerged, it's a brand new iser. But on a conceptual level, what the Prima Gadam has given us is probably the most fundamental chakir in all of Hilchas Basa B'cholov. I mean, I may sound like I'm dramatizing it, but I don't mean that. I'm not trying, you know, if I was talking to, you know, eighth graders, you know, who just came to our bar mitzvah, then you would accuse me of being overly dramatic. But since I'm talking to a kohen that's been learning Basa B'cholov for what? A couple of months now, no? And if I come and tell you that this is the most fundamental issue in Basa B'cholov, I'm not joking with you. How do we view Basa B'cholov? Is there an emergence of a new Isur? Or is it really just the combination of the Basa B'cholov? Does the Isur Basa B'cholov depend constantly on the coexistence of both Basar and Cholov? And that would be the approach of the Rashba and with the Prima Gadim, the Bach. So if Lu Yitzui, we could separate between these two Tavim, Basar and Cholov, then what you're left with is Heter. And it's amazing to come up with such a mechanics in the case of the Gias Basar without Rotev, that we leave the Blia of Cholov behind us. Or do we say no? That forget about the Blias Cholov. Once the Cholov was Nivla in the Basar, in a way that it was no same time, we have a new entity, a new Heftzah Surah, which is called Basar B'Cholov. And that's what Chaticha Nasa Nevela means. That extracting or separating between the Blias Cholov and the Basar itself is irrelevant. It's totally to be ignored. And hence the status of Basar B'Cholov like that of Nevela would be that it would generate an Issur through the Gia without Rotev. The chap of this brilliant insight of the Prima Gadim is that really when we want to start calculating the 24 hours of what the Mechaber calls Zman Shehi Bas Yoma, that issue should really depend upon this issue about the nature of the Issur Basar B'Cholov. And let's just go over it one more time. If Basar B'Cholov is only an Issur Machmas Bilua, then the Bach is 100% correct. We have to go back to the original Blia of Cholov and figure out if that Blia is a Blia Hoseres. Well, guess what? 24 hours have already passed since that Blia of Cholov. It cannot be a Tam L'Shvach that could generate any Issur. Whereas if you can assume that there's a brand new Issur that emerges once you have the Tam Basar and the Tam Cholov mixing together, and that's called Nevela, that's called Basar B'Cholov as a separate Shem Issur, then the 24 hours will begin to kick off with the emergence of that new Issur, which is called Basar B'Cholov. That's the Shita of the Prima Gadim. Now, what I would like to investigate with you just for 5 minutes, and then I want to go on to something else, is to ask the following question. do we have to assume, according to the Rashba, start again, do we have to assume, as the Prima Gadol would assume, according to the Shach, that the Iser Basar B'Chalav is an Iser Machmas Atzmo, and every fiber of Basar, as we said, becomes Asur, and it's impossible to reconcile the following, that the Shach would hold that the Iser of Basar B'Chalav, like the Rashba, is an Iser Machmas Bilua. And yet, nevertheless, the Shach insists that we start counting the 24-hour period of an Eina Bas Yoma from the moment in which there was a Bliya on this Kaf of a Tam Basar. Does everybody have the structure? And just the mechanics of what I'm saying is that what we're trying to do now is to see if we can cut the umbilical cord, the tlut, as we call it in English, it's called in fancy English an interdependence, right? We can cut this tlut of the Prima Gadim between the Shach and the Ran, meaning that the Shach, like the Ran, holds that Basar B'Chalav is in Iser Machmas Atzmo. I think, Yonatan, that would address also your question, right, too. Now, how would we accomplish that goal? See, here we want to quote a different Rashba. This is a Rashba in Berakah Bayis. And the Rashba says that we make a mistake about the halacha of an Eino Bas Yomo, meaning this concept called a Tam Pogu. We have Sugis and Shas at the end of Avodah Zarah, in Psachim and elsewhere, called the Vela HaRu'il Ger. When the Torah prohibits the Vela, it's got to be Ru'il Ger. It's got to be edible. And that's certainly a fundamental principle in all of Macholos Asuras, in all of Yeridei. However, when we speak about a Kedera and an Eina Bas Yoma, and we say that after 24 hours since the original cooking, the Tam is no Saint Tam Lifgam, the Rashba says you should not identify that with halacha of the Vela She'ena Ru'il Ger. Because when it comes to Tam itself, in this case the Tam that was Nivla in the walls of the Kedera, says the Rashba, that Tam never becomes a Tam Pogu. It always remains a Tam Isu. What's the halacha of an Eina Bas Yoma? That halacha is that when you cook with that kli, with that kedera, and the tam, which was an Eina Bas Yoma tam, now penetrates into the tavshil, says the Rashba, the impact on this tavshil is called a tam pogu. Again, let me just emphasize again the Rashba. The Rashba is differentiating between the tam itself, and the tam itself remains a tam of Isur, Be'atzmusa, as far as it itself is concerned. What we mean by saying Kedera She'ena Bas Yoma is that when you cook with that pot, and as a result of the cooking, the bliya is, right, is niflat, and it's now nivla into the contents of the second pot, it will always be pogim, the taste of that second pot. Again, it might not be a complete pegima, but it's a pegima b'miktas. And if it's a pegima b'miktas, then it could never generate an iser on the tavshil, because the only time that a blia, a tam balua, when it penetrates into a kedera, a tavshil and a kedera will generate an iser on the tavshil is only when it's tam ki'ika. Tam ki'ika means that the Torah says that when that tam enters into the tavshil, if it enhances the tam of the tavshil, that's called tam ki'ika. But says the Rashba, if the tam does not enhance the taste of the tavshil, then it's not included on the tam ki'ika, and it cannot generate an iser into the tavshil. But says the Rashba, if you were to identify, or shall I say, isolate the tam itself, that tam remains a tam also. And the Nafkamina says the Rashba is that when you cook in a Kedera She'ena Bas Yoma, we're going to require at least a bitul berov. And the insistence on the Rashba's part of Bitul Berov is it might be based on the Drabanan Halacha, but be that as it may, whether it's Doraisa Drabanan, because on a Doraisa level there's no Tam Ke'ika because it's Pogay the Tavshil, but nevertheless, we still have a Tam Iser, and that Tam Iser is somewhere floating around in this Tavshil. Why? Because the Tam in the Bli itself, the Tam Balua, remains Batzmuso, a Tam Iser. It's only that it cannot generate a Tam in its mixture with the Tavshil because it's going to have a negative impact on the Tavshil, which is called a Pegima B'miktas. That Miktas Pegima is enough to generate an Isur that require, that, in other words, to remove the Isur Doraisa of Tam Ki'ikur, but will still, insofar as it's a Tam of Isur, it will now generate an Isur that requires at least Bitul Berov. Now, as far as I know, the Rashba doesn't explain the difference between Bitul B'Shishim and Bitul Berov, but let's just say it this way. That when you have a tarobus, you have to always ask yourself, what generates the Isur in this tarobus? Is it the Tam, or is it the very existence of the Isur? If it's the Tam, then I need Shishim against that Tam. If it's only the existence, like for example in the tarobus of Yomish B'Yomish, it's only the existence of the Isur, then all I need is Rov. So the Rashba now tells us that in Eina Bas Yoma, which is in Nosein Tam Lefgam, that reduces the level of bittul from that of shishim, which requires, which is an appropriate requirement in the case where there's a tam isur. That is Nosein Tam Lishvach, and therefore we activate the principle of what? Of Tam Ki'ikar. Now the Tam is the Osir. If the Tam is the Osir, I need shishim against that Tam. But in the case of an Eina Bas Yoma, since that Tam has a negative impact on the Tavshil, there's no Tam Ki'ikar here, and I don't need Shishim against the Tam. But the Rashba insists I still need Rov against that Tam, and the reason for that is because the Tam Ba'atzmuso is still a Tam of Isur. So now somewhere in this Tavshil, I have a Tam of Isur. And how do I get rid of that Tam of Isur? Through Bitul Berov.
You told me that's a concept of the Rabbanan.
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to research that a little bit further. I need more time on that. Intuitively, I would tell you I think it's only Drabbanan, but if you prove to me that's Doraisa, I'll be Modal Emes.
Well, I thought you wouldn't it make more sense to say it's a Doraisa thing? Meaning if it's Batmuso Isser, it's just resilient to the fact that it requires a Shishim.
Right. So again, the only problem that I have with that is... All right, you know what? Let's say it's Doraisa. If that makes I don't know.
I'm just
adding a footnote here. I don't know what this. I can tell you this: that the Tam inside the Kli, if you follow what I mean, is definitely a Tam that's Batzmuso also. Once I extract that Tam from the Kli, because I'm cooking something in that Kli. Then if I ask myself, well, what's the relationship between the Tam and the Tavshil in the Kedera, I don't know. On a Doraisa level, for sure, I'm going to apply the principle of Tam Pagu. And I'm going to say that this Tam of the Kli, insofar as it's an Eina Ben Yomo, is going to have a Pogame relationship or impact on the Tavshil. Would I now say that Midaraisa, since the Tav is somewhere in the Tavshil, the Torah is going to say you have to be Mavatal at least Berov, even though as far as Tav is concerned it's not? I don't know. Because, you see, if you're going to go with the Doraisa, then you really have to figure out, which I don't have the ability to do so now, that there are two categories of Tav. You know, there's one Tav that applies to the impact on the Tavshil, and there's another Tam which refers to the existence of the Tam within the Tavshil, and that too might be a Doraisa Halacha that requires Bithel. I'm not sure. I would be more inclined and happier if you told me that that's a Darabonin Halacha, but be that as it may, but what I want to point out is that if you could isolate that Tam, then that Tam Biatzmuso is a Tam of Isur. Now why do I make a big deal about that? Because I think that could shed a new light on this shach here that we're seeing in Sadi Gilma. What the shach is telling us here is that we're going to begin to calculate the Eino Bas Yomo from the moment that the Tam of Basar entered into this Tarobas. Why? Because what happens at that moment? when you take a tafchol leves and you tochev the tafchol leves into a tafshel shel basar, at that moment in time, you have this combination of a tam cholov, which is ben yomo, with a tam of basar, which is a ben yomo, and the kaf itself becomes asura. That mixture of tam basar and tam cholov within the kaf itself is a tam that will remain a tam of isur be'atzmuso from the moment that the basar entered into the kaf, if you follow me. The tam of basar, once it penetrates into the kaf, at that moment in time, the shach will say, I now have the emergence of a tam isur. Now again, that tam isur will not be able to be oser a kedera if 24 hours passed, because then it's going to be pogging the kedera. But if I can isolate the tam itself, the tam is basically a tam of isur. So what happens in within 24 hours of the tchiva shnia, meaning the tchiva into the tavshel shel basar, what I have is the following issue. Can I separate between the basar and the cholah? Right? Let's go back to the Prima Gadda. The Prima Gadda was saying in the Bach that the Bach holds, I can now separate between the basar and the cholah. Why? Because the original cholah is now a tam pogum. Yeah, but that's no longer relevant if you accept the Rashba. Why? Because what do you mean the original tam of cholah is a tam pogum? That's not relevant to us now. We want to know, do we have a tam of isur? And if we have a tam of isur, then the moment that you would tochev this kaf into a tavshel shel basar, at that point, the tarobus of tam cholov tam basar becomes a tam of isur. Well, comes along the Bach and he says, but let's separate them because we're going to wait until 24 hours pass through from the original belia of the tam cholov. The shach is going to argue that that's not so. That's not relevant. Why? What's relevant only is going to be the moment that you take this kaf, which now has both basar and cholov, and you toke him into another kedera. Was that a tam that would be pogame the next tavshil, or it would be meshabeach the next tavshil? And that's going to depend, says the shach, on 24 hours after the tchiva of basar. But the fact that the original cholov is already an eno bas yomo, that according to the shach building on the Rashba is totally irrelevant. Even if I assume, like the shitas of Rashba in Kufhei, that basar b'cholov is an isur machmas bilua, that's not relevant. Why? Because when we're looking at the tam itself, again, Rabosai, do you hear me? This is the main point that I want to convey. When we isolate the tam itself, that tam is a tam that remains a tam batzmuso asur. Its status changes vis-a-vis a tavshil when he cooks something in that pot, or in the case of a kaf, when he's tochev the kaf into a tavshil. But the tam per se always remains a tam of isur. So now if I want to ask the question, when do I begin calculating the 24 hours, so you're going to have to answer me, well, we're going to have to separate the cholov from the basar, which is exactly what the Bach says. We're going to separate the basar and the cholov because the cholov is already a tam pogum, because it's after the eslace, it's after basioma. So the shach would counter argue against the Bach, and he's going to say, what do you mean? It's poshut that we're going to start calculating from the moment that we have this isur of basar b'cholov. Again, not because chaticha nas is the vela, in the sense that there's an emergence of a brand new chalos isur at that point. That's not what the shach means by chaticha nas is the vela. What the shach means is that whatever the status of the tarobus of basar b'cholov is in terms of the tam in the kaf, that status will not change even after we calculate and fast forward by 24 hours. Again, don't misunderstand me. The shach is very much aware of the mechaber who says it's got to be a bas yoma, which means that the basar entered into this kaf within the last 24 hours, and now that tam in the kaf will have a negative impact on the tavshil if we waited 24 hours after the tchiva into basar. However, don't think for one moment, says the shach, that you can separate the tam cholov and isolate it the way the Bach would and call it a tam pogum. That would make sense if you held that a tam pogum impacts on the tam itself, but the Shach accepts the principle of the Rashba that tam pogum has nothing to do with the tam itself. The tam batzmuso remains a tam of Isur. And if that be the case, then let's ask ourselves the following question. Did the tchiva into the basar take place within 24 hours of the original usage of the cholov when the cholov was nivla and the kaf? Once we get to that point, then you cannot separate the cholov from the basar. And I'll give you proof that you cannot separate the cholov from the basar. We have a machlokas back on Daf Kuf Ches about Efshel Sochta. And let's say we go with Rabbeinu Tam, right? The Tosfos Shita is that in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that Chanan applies to all Isurim. Now, if Chanan applies to all Isurim, it means that Basar Mechalav is like all Shar Isurim. It's an Isur Machmas Bliya. No, if it's an Isur Machmas Bliya, so why is Efshel Sochta also? So you're going to tell me, obviously, because even after Efshel Sochta, there's still some Tam left. Well, as a result of the fact that that tam is still left, you could never be mevatel that tam, because that tam remains a tam isur. And therefore, when you use this kaf, cholemes, shenichtava, or nitchava, into a tavshel shabasa within 24 hours of the basa, you cannot say, as the Bach would insist, that we're going to separate the tam cholav from this kaf, because once that Isur was kal in the Bliya and it remains a Bliya Asura, then we're going to apply the principle of Efshel Soto Asur. That's how we paskin that Efshel Soto Asur, which means you can never really separate the Tam Cholav from the Tam Basar. And even if you could separate the two, there would still be some, let's call it Shirayim, you know, some vestige of Tam Cholav left in this Tarobas, and that Tam is a Tam of Isur. So therefore, the Shach insists that we're going to have to count 24 hours from the time that the Tam Basar entered into this Kaf, because at that moment in time, what emerges is a mixture of two Tamim, both of which are Bnei Yoman, within the Kaf, a Tam of Cholav, Machmas, the original usage, and a Tam of Basar, Machmas, the Tchiva, into the Tavshish of Basar. Once you have that mixture, then start counting 24 hours from that moment. Not because, as the Prima Gonim insists, the Shach holds like the Ran, that Chaticha Nasis, the Vela means the Vela Mamish. No. But because of a totally different reason, and that is because the Tam always remains a Tam Isur Batzmuso. Once I postulate that the Tam remains a Tam Isur Batzmuso, then the principle of E.F. Shalas Sochto kicks in, which means that we can never successfully separate the two elements in that time. Yeah, you can cook it a million times over, but there is always some sort of vestige of that original time. And that's what Chaticha Nasis Nevela means. If we hold like the Shita of Tosfos, which is Rabbeinu Tam, that Basar Mechalav is like Nevela, it's an Isur Machmas Atzmo, and yet there's Halacha of Chanan that applies not only to Basar Mechalav but to Shari Surim, then Rabbeinu Tam only makes sense if we assume that Efshel Soto is Asur. Efshel Soto Asur is what gives us the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, which means that since there's a Tam of Cholav that entered into the Basar, that Tam of Cholav will never be successfully removed, and therefore the Tam of Cholav in the Basar will always generate an Isur Basar Mechalav. Okay, what time is it now, Rabos? I don't want to keep you over time. Do we still have a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to give you two choices. I can either talk to you about Simon Sadi Dali, or I can add something for Vizos Chanukah. Now, if you're a Hasidish Yid, then Vizos Chanukah continues till the wee hours of the morning. A Litvak will say, well, it's a little too late for Chanukah now. I mean, if you would eat a meal, you would not recite Al Nisan, and that's it, you know. But that's the way a Litvak looks at Kedushas Hazman. But if you're a Hasidish Yid, then you don't make any difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov on the one hand, And Hanukkah on the other hand. And Hanukkah continues until we finally decide that it's time to daven Maariv. So on that note,
someone signed out?
Let me just say the following and then I'll let you go. There's an unbelievable chiddush in a sefer called the Irei Noam. The Irei Noam was a Hasidish Rebbe. His first name was Rabbi Meir. I always get a little tongue-tied on the city that he came from. My father used to quote him all the time. Premishlan. Rabbi Meir Premishlan. Did I get that right?
Premishlan.
Okay. Maybe I didn't get it exactly right. But on your next trip to Poland, which I'm not recommending, you'll go to Premishlan. That's where they take you on these trips, you know, to see where Rabbi Meir... So Rabbi Meir Premishlan comes to the conclusion that since Kedushas HaZman is a spiral, and it's not dependent upon any moment in history, and it doesn't depend upon the reality of X, Y, or Z, like for example, Chazal say about Avraham Avinu, that he was already eating matzah before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and according to one day, he actually hosted the Malachim in a sukkah, and way before Laman Yedu Dor Sechem, he besukas Hoshavti, and the Anani HaKovin. So the Rebbe Rav Meir wants to know at what holiday every important incident in Jewish history had to have taken place on in the Tanakh at some point in the Jewish calendar. So he says that it was, who can guess?
Hanukkah.
Okay. Yeah, Hanukkah, great. But which day of Hanukkah? So listen to Rebbe Meir says. Chazal tell us that Yavon represents what's called pritzus, completely dropping any sort of getter erva. Yosef HaTzadik represents Tzadik Yisod Olam, that's called the Midah of Geder Anov. In which episode does Yosef manifest his Midah of Geder Erva? Eishes Potifa, correct? Says the Rebbe Rav Meir, what day in the calendar was that day that Eishes Potifar accosted and tempted Yosef? Obviously, she tempted him many times, but at that point where no one was around, Ein Abayis, that, he says, was the eighth day of Hanukkah. Why was it necessary, through the Hashgacha Pratis, that Yosef would face that challenge on the eighth day of Hanukkah? And he explains, because Yosef is now doing something that's going to inculcate into Klal Yisrael, to their spiritual DNA, Geder Erva. What Yosef does by overcoming that temptation of Eishes Potifar is going to have an impact on Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. It's going to set the stage for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is called Erva Sa'aretz. And Chazal testify, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies, Chanuchi, Chanuchi, and so forth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds a Yud Hei to the name of the various Shivim Nefashos in order to indicate that there was no admixture with any mitzrios or anything that way. And all that's caused by Yonas HaChutza, because Yosef runs away from Eishes Potifar. And later on in Yavon, Klal Yisrael able to be victorious over Yavon because of Yosef. And why is it that Yosef is lighting, how do we know that Yosef is lighting the candles on the eighth day of Hanukkah? So he says the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that if you cannot light Hanukkah on the outside of your house, then you light Hanukkah on the inside of your house. Where? It says, Keneged HaChalom. Yosef, when he's accosted by Eishes Potifar, looks towards the Chalon. And who does he see in the Chalon? Tumus Dukno Shal Aviv Shal Yaakov Aviv. Why is he looking at the Chalon? So again, if you're a Hasidish Yid and you have an appreciation for Hasidish Torah, the answer is because Yosef is lighting Hanukkah candles. Now, you cannot light Hanukkah candles in Mitzrayim in the public eye. That won't go for Nivri. He has to light within the quarters that he was designated. So he lights it at the Chalon. And at that Chalon, when he lights Hanukkah candles, he's really already setting the stage and preparing, he's humachshir takarka, as we say, for the ness of the nitzachon over the Yevonim. So on this day, which is the eighth day of Chanukah, what we have to have in mind is that in all areas of halach, obviously, we have to be very careful, and we have to v'asu b'shmeres l'shmarti, we have to make fences, asu siyog la'torah. But when we talk about Chanukah, especially in this area of Geder Erva, where we have Lo Sasur Achrei Nechem, where our eyes tend to what's it called in English, like in basketball, when you when it floats away, what's it called? It tends to drift. Yeah, looking for a different word. But anyway, so the eyes tend to look towards the left and towards the right. We have to fortify ourselves with a shtick of Yosef, a little bit of Geder Erva, and we have to make sure that we're not overstepping any sort of bounds. Even the greats of our ancestors, unfortunately, on different occasions, fell prey to this powerful Koach HaTuva, this Yetzer Hara. So we have to make sure that in Birtz Hashem, we can come to the Ribbono Shel'Olam and say that we are dedicated to this concept called Geder Erva to such an extent that we have made Harchokos for ourselves, and we've accepted that legacy of Yosef HaTzadik, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring for us Nitzachon and success over the various forces. Today we have such forces of the Yetzer Hara, it's mind-boggling. I mean, I have to tell you the truth, when I was a youngster, there was no such thing as talk about those other forms of immorality, if you know what I'm for. Today, they dance through the streets, you know, with the flag. You know, we belong to that, what are they called, single-sex marriages, if you know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you don't know what I'm talking about, but just in case you do, we have an internet, we have so many things and powerful forces, but Amir Tzashem will dedicate ourselves to the Yisod Olam of a Tzaddik, of a Yosef HaTzaddik, to get our Erva, will be Zohar, be meticulous,